Well, folks, as most of you know, we're taking a little bit of a break from 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. We'll get back to it. One of the decisions that was made during these days was to address this particular need, but to do it from the Scriptures. And so this morning I want to begin, and we're not sure how long we're going to be in the book of James. I guess it depends on how long we're in isolation or quarantine. But we're going to be looking at the book of James. James is toward the end of the New Testament, for those of you that aren't familiar with James. James was written primarily to Jewish Christians scattered around throughout the then-known world, probably scattered because of persecution, probably scattered mostly because of the persecution that happened with the death of Stephen in the city of Jerusalem. It was a book that was written to people who were struggling in times of trouble. Who knows, maybe they were in isolation. Maybe they were in quarantine. We do know it was one of the earliest books written in the New Testament. Some of the features of the book are pretty interesting. It doesn't reference specific individuals that James wrote to. It just to the 12 tribes who were scattered abroad. So we don't really know exactly the names of the people that James wrote to. There's no benediction in this book, so he didn't close the book in prayer. But one of the things that we do see in the book, we see one out of every two verses contains a command. One out of every two verses in the book of James contains what's called an imperative verb. James had some strong things to say. He used numerous figures of speech in the book of James. He alluded over 20 times to some Old Testament book. He spoke of Old Testament characters, Abraham, Rahab, Job, Elijah. And the message of James is this, that our faith should result in a behavior that is in harmony with the character of God. That's really the message of James. It is that our lives need to be in sync, our lives need to be in harmony with the character and the attributes of God. Even in the midst of trials. Because James has written about trials. It's written about the struggles that we face in life. Let me give you a quick overview of the book of James. Chapter 1 deals with trials, problems, difficulties that we face in life. Chapter 1 also deals with decisions. But the decisions are primarily those decisions that we will be tempted to make in the midst of the trials that we are in. So are we going to make knee-jerk decisions? Are we going to make impulsive decisions? Or are we going to make decisions that are based on good wisdom and direction from God? In the midst of our trials, we're going to be faced with temptations. James deals with that in chapter 1. And he says that we're going to be tempted to react in the moment, in the heat of the moment, when it's hot, when the struggles are at their peak, we're going to be tempted to react. And James is telling us, no, in temptation, you've got to understand where those temptations come from. And then chapter 2, we are really close with a lot of our relations. If you have children, and I guess as the number of children goes up, the number of people in your household goes up. So now you don't have any kids going off to school during the day. You don't have them going off to daycare. They're all there. Maybe they're all sitting with you on the couch right now. And we're in close proximity to people. That's when our faith is tested. When we're in those isolated moments with people. When we're sequestered with people. And our relationships will be put to the test. That's found in James chapter 2. James chapter 2 addresses the issue of how does our faith function when life goes wrong? And life has gone wrong right now. James chapter 3 addresses our speech and our conversations and our friendships. And how do we speak to each other? How do we communicate to each other when there's a lot of pressure on? He addresses that in chapter 3. Chapter 4, he deals with conflict as tensions rise. So tension is going up. We're starting to see the tension go up, and then we start to butt heads, and we start to have conflict with each other. And yes, that can happen among Christian people within a church family. And in that conflict, we can also judge other people. And we can make sometimes some very foolish plans and some very foolish decisions. And James says, be real careful. Be real careful as you move into these kind of decisions, because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. That's James chapter 4. And then James chapter 5, again, in the midst of trials and in the midst of those things that we're facing, when life is not turning out as we had hoped, he addresses the issue of money, he addresses the issue of patience, and he addresses prayer. That's the book of James. An incredibly practical book. And if you were to take one sentence and write it over the book of James, I think it would be this. Any trial is an opportunity for us to cease trusting God and to do things our own way. Any trial is an opportunity for us to cease trusting God and do things our own way. That's the message of James. So now we look at James chapter 1. We're going to get as far as we can get today. James chapter 1, my plan is to get to verse 6. So let me read the text for you. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness or perseverance have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, and you probably will, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Community Bible Church and friends, you probably have 1,000 questions swirling around your mind right now. Think about this. 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, we had not heard the phrase COVID-19. We probably didn't hear the term coronavirus. When we heard of isolation or quarantine, we were always thinking of someone else in another place, in another time. Now those terms are household words. And you might have 1,000 questions swirling around in your mind during this time of crisis and trial, and James addresses it for us. Look at verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. These are people that are separated from their families. They're separated from that which is comfortable. They are separated from that which is familiar, and they're out and they are dispersed. And James is going to address them. By the way, did you know who James was? James was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus. And he didn't name drop here. He simply referred to himself as a servant. So, what is it, first of all, what do we need to remember in the midst of our trials? James addresses it. Look down at verses 2, 3, and 4. First of all, James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Let me just stop right there and say this. Trials are inevitable. That's the first thing we learn in this text. That's the first thing that we need to remember, is that trials are inevitable. There's an important word in verse 2. The NIV translates it consider. The ESV translates it count. It is a word which means that you need to do something in a deliberate and a calculated manner. You need to take stock of something. You need to understand something, and you need to come to grips with something. You need to properly assess the trial that you're in. And the first thing you need to properly assess is that this trial is inevitable. All trials are. We are not in heaven yet. We looked at that last week. We're living in a broken world. And look at how James puts it. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials. Not if. He doesn't say if you face trials. He says when you face trials. They will come. Count on it. You're probably thinking, wow, that's not very encouraging. It is, because they're a normal part of our existence. And it's better if we are aware that they will come. Don't be surprised, Peter says in chapter 4 of his epistle. He says, don't be surprised at the fiery trial that's come upon you as if something strange happened. Ladies and gentlemen, problems, struggles, trials are not an elective course. They're mandatory. That they're part of how God is at work in our lives. So they're inevitable. The second thing is they're variable. Look at the text. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Many kinds. Various kinds. All kinds of trials crowd in on our lives. The word that James uses here is a word for multicolored. They're not all the same. Do you realize something? I read this past week on the Ministry of Agriculture Canada website. There are 315 different species of weeds in Ontario from 25 different families. And I think most of them are in my backyard. Some of you laughed. I could hear it. All different kinds. All different shapes. All different sizes. All different intensity. All different strength. All different frequency. Trials are variable. That's just the nature of trials. When all different kinds of trials crowd into our lives, and they are all different colors, they are all different sizes, they are all different strengths and intensities. Trials are inevitable, trials are variable, trials are unpredictable. The phrase at the beginning of verse 2, when you meet trials of various kinds. The word for meet that James uses is a word which means to kind of trip in upon. You kind of meet them on the street. Then you separate 6 feet and then you walk around them. That's what we're doing today. But the idea here behind this is that they're unpredictable. They crowd into your space. That's how Phillips translated it. It's these trials that come and they crowd into your quarantine. Or they make you get into quarantine. The trials that you face are unpredictable. They're never convenient. When do you have a flat tire? When you've got lots of time? When you've got, another hour or so before you have to be at a meeting? When do you have a flat tire? When you're already running late. True? Okay, I can be kind of partway gross here. When does the baby poop? Just before bath time or just after bath time? Most of the time, just when you've got them all cleaned up, just when you've gotten the new pajamas on. Oh no, not now. Really? When we rang in 2020 this year, did any of us expect that in about 2 months we'd be sitting like we are now? This trial hit us and it was unpredictable. We had no idea. We had no clue it was coming. It's never convenient. It happened upon us. Trials are inevitable, variable, unpredictable. Don't miss this one. They are purposeful. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Understand this, ladies and gentlemen. This trial has been sent to us to produce something in us. It is sent to do a work in our lives. God sends trials into our lives. He allows trials into our lives to change us. They're purposeful. Problems can be productive, can't they? That's what God wants to do in this. He never wastes a trial in our lives. God never wastes a hurt. The trials that He is allowing us to go through right now are not purposeless. They are not pointless. So the question that we ask, what do I need to remember in trial? We need to remember that they're inevitable, they're variable, they're all different kinds, they are unpredictable, and they are purposeful. We need to respond to them positively. Number two, why is it that trials come into my life? What really is the purpose of trials and difficulties coming into my life? Number one, look at verse 3. They are sent to test my faith. James chapter 1, verse 3. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. God sends these struggles into our lives to prove or to develop the genuineness of our faith. Faith that James is speaking of here is the experiential part of my Christianity, that lived out part, that part that others see, that part that is demonstrated in our community and in our relationships, that which we confess that we are a Christian, that we trust Jesus. The trials and the testings that come into our lives prove that profession to be genuine. And James tells us that the trials in our lives are there to take our faith walk, our faith lives, and to develop them and strengthen them. Faith is like a muscle. It develops when it's tested. It develops when it's strained and work. I know I'm going to surprise some of you. Muscle development and fitness development does not happen on the couch. It really doesn't. Your faith is developed. Your faith is strengthened when it is tested, when it is pushed. The word that James uses here for test is a word which describes the refining process of precious metals. Right now, God is testing your faith. He's putting you in some hot water. Kind of like a tea bag. And that tea bag is starting to soak the water in around it. But do you know what else the tea bag is starting to do? It is also starting to influence the water that's around it. Starting to color that water around it and to flavor that water around it. And that's what God is doing at this time in your life, in all of our lives. He's putting us in a time of hot water right now. And he's testing our faith. Don't despise the testing of God. Don't run away from the testing of God. Don't try to short circuit the testing of God. He's testing your faith in this hot water right now. Listen to this. But perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Trials test my faith. Secondly, trials develop my endurance. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. You know what the word perseverance or endurance means? It means the ability to stay under something while in the midst of the trouble. It's that staying power. It's that resilience. Do you know how you learn to endure trials? It's in the midst of trials. It's like you need experience to do the job, but how do you get experience? You get experience doing the job. It almost doesn't make sense, but yet it makes perfect sense. Because the trials that we are facing right now are developing within us the quality of endurance. And what God wants to develop through these trials in us is that very quality. That's one of the qualities of our faith that God wants to develop. It is the quality of endurance, because you are going to be tempted to want to short circuit this process. As a nation, we are faced with... Let me back up a second. As a nation, we have a love affair with conveniences, don't we? Now we're facing some incredible inconveniences. Don't short circuit the process. The endurance of faith that God is trying to develop in you is only developed in the crucible of struggles. And that's what he wants to develop in us. He wants to develop in us a character quality that is born through the ministry of the Spirit of God in you, but he wants to develop within each and every one of us an endurance that does not quit. An endurance of faith that does not pick up and run every time the water gets hot. In our relationships, in our friendships, in our workplace, in our lives on a daily basis, God wants to develop this kind of staying power and endurance that is only developed in the crucible of struggles. I don't know many people, I know a few that have run a marathon, but a marathon is 26.2 miles. It's not about speed. It's about straining through the pain and the inconvenience and continuing on. I don't know how long this COVID-19 coronavirus is going to last. I don't know how long we're going to be doing these virtual church services. I don't know. But I do know God is developing in us endurance. I do know he is testing our faith and developing endurance. You know what else he wants to do? He wants to mature our character. Look at verse 4. But let the process go on until the endurance is fully developed and you become a person of mature character. That's Phillips' translation. I love that translation of it. A number of years ago, there was a major study done in Russia. And the study was done on animals and their living conditions. Certain animals were placed in environments of ease and comfort. Other animals were placed in, I guess you would call it, more unfriendly environments, probably more realistic environments. And the ending of the study is probably not a surprise to some of you, but the study actually ended with the animals that were left in the comfortable locations and the comfortable environments of relative ease got weaker and died sooner. The animals that were placed in the harsher, probably more realistic environment actually learned how to live and to thrive. Like it or not, trials mature our character. I want you to think about this for a moment, because each and every one of us are going to have to make decisions as these days move on. Trials can do a couple of different things with us. They can make us incredibly self-centered and self-focused. They can. People that hoard and stockpile to the neglect of everybody else, and really just to ignoring everybody else, that can become pretty self-centered. But you know what else trials can do? Trials can also make us less self-centered. And they can make us more others-centered. We got an email this week from the Elsa Craig Food Bank. And when I first read the email, I thought, this is a great opportunity. And then I thought, I wonder if anybody is going to read this and think, wait a minute, we've got our own food that we need to worry about. And I set it down, and I thought to myself, I said, you know, God, this is an opportunity for us as a church family to, in the midst of our testing, to help people who are in times of chronic testing and who are regularly in this time of testing. And so as a church family, we want to help support the Elsa Craig Food Bank. There was an email sent out to you this week all about that. Trials can make us either very self-centered, or it can actually create in us a desire to help and be less self-centered. This is God's school, ladies and gentlemen. We learn patience when we are forced to wait. We learn love when we have to deal with sometimes unloving people. We learn joy when we are hurt deeply. We learn peace when the world is swirling around us. We learn gentleness and kindness when we are tempted to retaliate or to be selfish. We learn self-control when we are tempted to do things for our own gratification. And we learn faithfulness when we are tempted to make excuses. Do you know how God grows us? He has two primary ways of growing us, two primary classrooms in which he grows us. One is through his word. And two is through the circumstances that we face in life, the good ones and the bad ones. That's how he grows us, through his word and through circumstances. How are you doing right now? How are you doing in this circumstance? This circumstance is not easy. It's not easy for anyone. I was pumping gas at the gas station last week, and a fella in a pretty big truck drove in behind me, and he was pumping next to me, and we were commenting back and forth on just how cheap the gas was. And then I looked over to him and I said, it's a shame there's no place we can go. And the reality is, it's not easy for anyone, because we can't see those we care about. We're not involved in our life groups. We're not able to go out and connect with people in our gym or in our community groups or in our sports teams or in our hockey teams. We're separated from all of those folks. And there's some hurt there. This is not an easy time. So how should we respond during this time of COVID-19 crisis? Well, I have four ways. that are taken right from this text. And the first, you're going to say, you've got to be kidding. No. The first one is the word praise. It's taken from James 1:1. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials. Now, I'm not saying to fake it. I'm not saying to plaster one of those dumb Cheshire Cat grins across your face so that nobody really knows what you're up to. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. What I am saying is consider it pure joy whenever you face trials. Here it is. We don't rejoice for the problem. We rejoice in the problem. Because we remember that word consider or count. It's an accounting word. It's a choice word. We are choosing to look at the struggle and say, God is going to do something bigger in me and through me in the midst of this trial. So in Christ and in the truths of Christ, I am going to rejoice. That's praise. Do you remember the 12 things I mentioned to you last Sunday? The 12 unchanging things that we focus our attention on instead of the struggle we are in. Here they are. That God's word never changes. God sees everything that I am going through. 3, God cares about everything I am going through. 4, God has power to answer prayer. 5, God's acts out of his goodness to me. 6, God always acts to the glory of his name. 7, God's plan is always better than my plan. 8, God is always faithful to provide. 9, God always has a purpose for me. 10, God will never stop loving me. 11, the gospel never changes. And 12, in Christ I can never lose the hope that I have in him. Now those are just 12, and I assure you there are more. I was thinking this week, the character of God never changes. That is so good to know, because I know so many people in this world that are just so flighty and so changing as the day changes or as the breeze changes. Sometimes people's moods can change, and I'm glad God's character never changes. So I want to praise. I want to take time to think about those things that are absolutely certain. In James 1, James gives us something to praise. He says in verse 12, blessed is the person who perseveres under trials, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Our world is changing, sometimes today, ladies and gentlemen, by the hour. Find things to focus on that are not changing and that are praiseworthy. 2, the first way we respond during this current crisis is to praise. The second thing is to pray. Look what James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, and we do, he should ask God. He should pray. Who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Pray to God for wisdom. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is the ability to take what you know and put it into practice. It's the ability to take truth and live it out. So we want to pray today for wisdom in how to live in accordance with what I know. I've been challenged this past week to stop praying in certain ways and to start praying in other ways. Here's the way I have been challenged to stop praying. We need to stop praying, why am I going through this? Why are we going through this? We may never know that answer. Apart from the fact that we live in a broken world, and these kind of sicknesses and illnesses are part of a broken world, I'm not sure we're ever going to get the answer as to why. There are two things I need to be praying for regularly, though. 1 is, what can I learn from this? What can I as an individual learn from this crisis that we as a nation are going through? And how can I grow through this? How can I take opportunities, ready for this, not to Netflix myself into oblivion, but how can I actually take some of the opportunity of some extra free time, and how can I grow and how can I develop my faith? We've put a few resources online for you. Please take advantage of them. Email me, ask me, are there things that I can learn and I can do online that will help to develop my faith? Use this as a time to ask the question and pray, God, how can I grow? You can also pray. We're having 3 Zoom meetings, prayer meetings every week, Tuesday at 9 a.m., Thursday at 7:30 p.m., and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Stuart Mary Smith have set this up. The information is available for you in the electronic bulletin and also on our website. The third letter of response to this current crisis is the word persevere, perseverance. In this trial, Satan wants to defeat you. He wants you to get discouraged. He wants you to get frustrated. In this same trial, God wants to develop you. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, this trial may show some cracks. It may show you very clearly areas where you need to grow. It has me already. Persevere. Don't give up. Let perseverance finish its work so that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And the last letter P that I want to point out to you is this. Pass it on. Pass it on. Find someone that you can encourage and pass it on to them. Find a verse of scripture that you can use that has blessed your life and pass it on to people around you. Pass it on. Let's take a few moments and let's pray. I've received some prayer requests this morning. So let's pray.